Good Thursday, everybody. Good live sports Thursday. New York and Philly in an MLS game being played in Orlando. And it just feels good to see live stuff on TV. And speaking of Orlando, why haven't we gotten the pictures of the NBA bubble breakfast yet? We've seen a couple of different dinner pictures. I want to see that sad plate of eggs and some limp bacon.
Microwave bacon.
You're going to get powdered eggs. You're going to get some soggy pancakes, airplane pancakes that come on the airplane.
Yeah.
They're not going to be cold. They're going to be steamed.
They'll be steamed, and the butter will be right in the middle, and it'll have an imprint in it.
Yep.
And when you lift it up, the imprint of the butter will be in your
pants. One of them little packets of syrup.
Yep. we're talking, of course, about some of the pictures that are coming out of the bubble and the food. LZ, you passed along one this morning of some really sad-looking shrimp and steak in these little plates and some cauliflower in a paper cup. It's just – when I think of NBA players and their dietary needs, this is not really hitting me where I thought they would live.
And you know what's so crazy is that, like, I'll eat a sad piece of chicken. I'll eat a cold pork chop. I might even nibble a little bit on, like, a suspect-looking piece of steak. But it's something about sad shrimp that scares the hell out of me. It's just like, if the shrimp looks sad, I can't mess with it because I feel like it's going to kill me. And I don't know if it's just because seafood sort of has this reputation of being dangerous if it ain't done right. But when I see sad shrimp, the last thing I'm going to do is nibble on it. And that picture that I saw on the internet circulating from inside the bubble, that shrimp would have never made it to my plate.
But it's just not plate. But the problem is, it's not plated right. It got if they gave me that right now, and I had a plate and I plated it right. You wouldn't think twice about it. You just
yes,
wouldn't.
I would. Yes,
no,
I would.
No, you wouldn't if it's plated right.
I hear what you're saying. I'm well aware of presentation. This does not look appetizing, and it's not just because it's in an unappetizing container and it's just kind of thrown in there cafeteria style.
I ain't really it had just, no shrimp and olives
it,
though.
It just doesn't look good.
No, it doesn't. The
rice looks dry. The cauliflower looks like it's just kind of sitting there, like it's all steamed and limp and awful. It just there's nothing about it.
Yeah, I mean, they probably could have threw some olive oil on the cauliflower or dropped some butter on it or something. But if it's, you can't tell me though, if it's plated right though, you would be like, oh, okay, cool. And now whether it tastes good, that's a different story, but the fact that you never got a chance to get to the taste part of it because the initial thing you were hit with was the look of it, it's going to turn your stomach upside down to start. You know how you get that food and you don't want to eat it? You look at yourself, you know what, man, I'm cool. You push
I'm good.
It to the side. I'm good. I ain't
yeah,
eat that.
Because
it just don't look right.
Well, if the idea is to keep people in the bubble, that's certainly not going to help. You guys are going to be sneaking out to go get a burger and fries if nothing else, if that's what it's
I sure hope Mickey Mouse step up.
Yeah, well, they're starting practice. Lakers practice on Saturday in Orlando in the bubble. So it's around the corner. I mean, there are games coming up in just a few weeks. So
maybe
if it's going to be stepped up, it needs to be stepped up right now.
Maybe it's a joke. It's a joke. I got you.
We'll see.
Is everybody in on it? Because I've yet to see a picture the opposite.
That's they going to feed you. And that's what they're going to feed you in New York.
Mm-hmm.
Say, man, I don't know anything about anything.
You still don't know anything, huh? You should go get online, Key.
You're going to be eating at the TikTok. You know about the TikTok, Key. I know you know about the TikTok cafe. You go get the TikTok cafe.
Stop listening to rumors about me leaving the show. Stop listening to rumors, man.
It's going to be a block of head lettuce and some French dressing.
French dressing.
French dressing is gross.
Gross.
So sweet.
Gross.
Yeah, that's
gross. That's that grandmother. Good. Your grandmother want to give you that with that spaghetti.
Yeah, it's not good. It's
the worst.
Pink and sweet and got relish in it. It's a bad deal. All right. Go back a couple of days ago. Deshaun Jackson posted something online. Extremely anti-Semitic messages. He apologized for them. Steven Jackson apologized on CNN yesterday. We'll get to that in a second. But initially, after Deshaun Jackson started to get some heat, Steven Jackson said, you know what? He was speaking the truth. Here's Steven Jackson.
So I just read a statement that the Philadelphia Eagles posted regarding Deshaun Jackson comments. He was trying to educate himself, educate people, and he's speaking the truth, right? He's speaking the truth. You know he don't hate nobody, but he's speaking the truth of what of the facts that he know and try to educate others. But y'all don't want us to educate ourselves. If it's talking about the black race, y'all ain't saying nothing about it. They killing us, police killing us, and treating us like shit. Racism at an all-time high, but ain't none of you NFL owners spoke up on that. Ain't none of you teams spoke up on that. But the same team had a receiver that say the word nit to say nit publicly, and they gave him an extension. I play for the Big Three. We have a Jewish owner. He understands where we stand and some of the things we say, but it's not directly to him. It's the way we've been treated. Philadelphia, y'all need to repost this.
All right.
There's a lot.
And I think that was a lot.
There's no question about that was a lot. But part of that problem for Stevie Jack is his initial response to Deshaun is making people focused in on that. They're not focused in on everything he just said just a minute ago.
I get that. And that's that part of the problem is that he's taking two things and jamming them together. They need to be handled separately. They need to be handled. The Eagles' response to Riley Cooper is a really good point, and it's a fair conversation and one that should be had, but not in conjunction with what Deshaun Jackson did, because Deshaun Jackson said white Jews will blackmail America, they will extort America, their plan for world domination won't work if the Negroes know who they are. That's what he posted on his social media account. And when Steven Jackson goes on and saying that he's trying to educate people, that he's speaking the truth with those kind of comments, you're signing off on anti-Semitism. This is not educating people. This is not speaking the truth. This is anti-Semitic language that you are saying is the truth. It has nothing to do with Riley Cooper. It has nothing to do with him using a racial slur and getting a contract extension, or him using a racial slur and being sending to racist rehab or whatever it is they made him go do. They're two separate issues.
No, it is.
So by saying that, hey, what he said is true, that he's speaking the truth, that he's educating the people, you just co-signed a terribly anti-Semitic comment.
Yeah, because you're not educating the people on the Philadelphia Eagle portion of it, because Deshaun Jackson didn't say anything about the Philadelphia Eagles. At least I haven't seen where he said anything about the Philadelphia Eagles in the last several days. In the past, he certainly said things about him when all that went down, but not here recently. And so I think that the fact that Steven Jackson stepped in this and inserted himself into something that has to do with Deshaun Jackson has him looking a certain way. I understand exactly what he's saying in terms of the NFL owners not saying a word about the Riley Cooper situation, but yet and still giving him an extension and acting like it never happened. But the moment that – and I understand what he's trying to say. The moment that Deshaun Jackson said something about the Jewish community – every owner all of a sudden, their owners and teams all of a sudden started speaking up. And that's kind of two different messages that he's trying to send, when it only should really be one. And that's really the Philadelphia Eagles situation, because I wouldn't even touch the Hitler deal. I'd leave that alone, throw that in the bushes.
Yeah, I listen, there were a lot of problematic things being said, starting with the very beginning, with not distancing himself from the comments, but somewhat co-signing. Even if he didn't mean to co-sign, by saying he's speaking facts and trying to educate people, it feels like a co-sign.
Yes.
But I also want to make sure that, you know, we don't fall into the hyperbole of where racism is in this country. Steven Jackson said it was at an all-time high. That is unequivocally false. It's false. Racism in this country is not at an all-time high. It's just isn't. You can't go through racism and slavery. You can't go through the Jim Crow era. You can't go through all of that. And here we are, two blacks and a white guy hosting a radio show in the second largest market in the country.
Well, that's not true either. Well, that's not true either.
So you can't.
What's not true?
Two blacks and a white dude. That ain't true. Because I don't look at Travis as a white dude. I look at him as a brother.
Thank you.
I don't know if you call him, but he's also white, and there's nothing.
Yeah, you're a white brother.
But there's nothing wrong with acknowledging our differences. The problem comes from judging the differences or thinking superiority because of the differences. That's the problem. not acknowledgement. Whenever someone tells me they're colorblind, I'm scared because that means they're either lying to themselves or they're lying to me. I would much rather you go ahead and say, yes, I recognize that we have some differences. Now, we also have more in common than we have different, but we have some differences, and that's cool. I love the fact that when I meet someone who's not like me, it presents an opportunity to grow. You know, I was texting with a buddy of mine who's Italian, and we were talking about prosciutto, and he broke some stuff down for me, and I was like, damn, I didn't even know there was that many different kinds of prosciutto.
Yeah, you don't want to watch them make that, by the way.
Yeah, that's not a good look, though, LZ. It's so many different kinds.
Pretty good.
Yeah, it's okay. I just prefer to have regular salami and ham.
And just acknowledging the differences isn't problematic, and it isn't racist. Racism comes from the judging and placing of that. So we're not at an all-time high when it comes to race. And in this other thing that he talked about in terms of with the Philadelphia Eagles and Roddy Cooper, one of the first things I did when that story broke was I reached out to Kenny Chesney and told him what was going on. And his first reaction was to distance himself as quickly as possible for Roddy Cooper. And that is exactly what Steven Jackson should have done in regards to DeSean Jackson's remarks. Distance himself from it as soon as possible before going on and talking about what you do stand for and what you do believe. Because if you don't do that, people think you're co-signing.
So that was Steven Jackson's initial response. Then last night he went on CNN and apologized for being misunderstood. Let's listen to his apology.
Nobody can find a video or article of me saying I hate anybody. I own something that says love for all who have love for all. I stand on that. In 42 years, you can't say I approach any race or I stand different. No, I don't support any of that. Maybe I could have been more clear of what I thought DeSean was correct about, but I didn't feel the need to go into a conversation that me and him had about how they was treating him and Roddy Cooper. I could have changed those words, but the people that know me, my Jewish friends that I talked to today, they know that the last thing I was spewing was to defend Hitler or any other post. That's why I didn't speak on Hitler or even speak on this post. I spoke on exactly what I agreed with, and they was handling him different than they was handling Cooper. That's the end of it. They can twist it how they want, but that's exactly what it is. I don't hate nobody.
It's not twisting it. It's not twisting it. What he said was, and to going back to the beginning of that apology, it's, you've never heard me say I hate anybody. You don't have to say I hate blank, black people, Jews, whatever it is. You don't have to, it doesn't have to be explicit like that, because by saying he's educating people, he's speaking the truth after the person that just said
it makes it seem they're like trying to take over the world.
No, it doesn't make it sound like he did. He did.
Or sign, or whatever you want. If he signed off on it, it certainly makes people 100% believe that he signed off on it. Sometimes in the heat of the moment and frustration and all the things that's built up, people will say something before they even think. That is why people say, stay out of other people's damn business. If it ain't yours, stay out of it. What do I always say to you, Travis? I worry about my own house burning down.
Right.
I don't care about what I got. This foundation right here, I need to worry about this from burning down. And once I get this contained and under control and the fire trucks are here, then I worry about your house. Because and that's what happens when you insert your stuff in other people's business, you come out on the back end not looking so good. You know, and when you are frustrated and you are, Steven Jackson has a lot of goodwill, has built up a whole bunch of postseason just in black communities across and everywhere, just sending the message and getting out there and in these streets on the front line, doing everything that he can to change the way people think in the world. And this one bad judgment may have just stripped all of that, because he stepped in something that he probably shouldn't have stepped in at the level.
Yeah, you're right. You're right, Key. All that goodwill he built up being a spokesperson at the forefront of this movement right now, he's lost a lot. And I hope that people don't try and take his comments and try to discredit the entire thing that's going down right now, because he was so prevalent on the onset when it came to George Floyd.
All right, another NFL player has weighed in on this, and he wants to meet and do something with DeSean Jackson. We'll tell you who and what next on the morning show on 710 ESPN. All right, so we're continuing the conversation, the DeSean Jackson conversation, the Steven Jackson conversation that Steven Jackson co-signed DeSean Jackson's original comments and then apologized for them. And now we've gotten to the Julian Edelman portion of this. Julian Edelman, of course, Patriots wide receiver, is Jewish. And people have been asking him, hey, what do you think about this? And what he said is, and the quote's a long one, I'm not going to read the whole thing, but what he's basically saying is we should get together and talk about this stuff because he thinks there's a lot of similarities between the black culture and the Jewish culture and that they've both been oppressed and that they both need to sit down and talk to each other and realize that this is what's going on, that he wants to take him to the Holocaust Museum in Washington, D.C., and in turn he would go to the African-American History Museum in D.C., and they could sit down and talk about this after. It might not be for no other reason. It might not be a bad PR look for DeSean Jackson to say, you know what, that's a great idea. Let's go do that.
No, they, but not just from a PR standpoint. You need to be educated on some stuff. In like I said yesterday, too many times in locker rooms, things aren't talked about. You don't even know a person's religion, his background. You don't know because you sit in your cubby till it's time to go to work. He sit in his cubby till it's time to go to work. We may talk about the club. We may talk about some girls and keep it moving. In this day and age, they talking about what's on Instagram, if they even talking, because they swiping all the time, looking to see who they could DMs they could slide into. So there's no real conversations that's taking place. And on top of that, Julian Edelman said in his video that's out on his Instagram post is that we don't know about each other's communities because you ain't raised in those communities. So you don't know what you don't know. And I know a little bit more about it because I've had the fortune since I was younger to kind of be around the Jewish communities. I have so many friends that are Jewish that I deal with on a daily basis. So I'm in it. I'm right there with them all the time, whether it's dinners or whether it's holidays that we're celebrating, you know, kids' birthdays, whatever the case is. So I get a chance to understand and have these type of conversations on the daily. But growing up and playing football and being in the NFL and being in college, that conversation wasn't even had. It wasn't even something, you know, it just wasn't, we didn't talk about our community other than how bad it, our community as black people, how bad it was and the violence that was in it, and that was it. So until you really learn about this stuff and understand it, then you'll never appreciate it.
I understand that, Key. I understand that perspective. There was just no wiggle room to what DeSean Jackson posted.
There's no question.
And that's the thing that I'm hung up on. Like, this isn't a, I didn't understand the differences between, you know, this and that, or I didn't know the nuanced differences between X, Y, and A, B. Like, this isn't in the weeds kind of conversation about history of a particular group of people or cultural tendencies or things of that nature. This isn't that. He put something out there that was so explicitly hateful to one particular group of people that you don't need to be a historian to know that was wrong. Like, there are a lot of things about the LGBTQ community that people don't know. And I just give them grace because I understand that this is new for a lot of people still. Even though there have been gay people, as long as there have been people, I understand that elements of my history, my community's history, that isn't privy to the general population. So I allow grace because I get that. But if you post, I hate gay people, you don't need to be an expert in LGBTQ history to know that was wrong. And I view that in the exact same way in terms of what DeSean Jackson posted. It's so clearly targeting one group of people in a very nefarious way that even if you knew nothing at all about the Jewish faith or about the Jewish community or Hitler or World War II, you at the very least know that is targeting one group of people and painted them in a very negative light. That is plain as day.
All right, let's take a listen to Julian Edelman, who made his offer to DeSean Jackson yesterday.
I've been getting hit up by everyone asking me about this DeSean Jackson post, and I wanted to take some time before I responded because it's a complicated issue, and I wanted to be thoughtful. I wrote down some of my thinking. I've seen DeSean play in his career, make outstanding football plays. We've communicated over social media. I've got nothing but respect for his game. I know he said some ugly things, but I do see an opportunity to have a conversation. I'm proud of my Jewish heritage. And for me, it's not just about religion. It's about community and culture as well. I'm unusual because I didn't identify as Jewish until later in my life. Whenever I encountered hatred, it never really felt like it was aimed at me. It was only after I was part of this community that I learned how destructive hate is. Anti-Semitism is one of the oldest forms of hatred. It's rooted in ignorance and fear. I remember experiencing a little bit of this hate in 2011 when I was called a kike on the football field. There's no room for anti-Semitism in this world. Even though we're talking about anti-Semitism, I don't want to distract from how important the Black Lives Matter movement is and how we need to stay behind it. I think the Black and Jewish communities have a lot of similarities. One unfortunate similarity is that they are both attacked by the ignorant and the hateful. It's really hard to see the challenges a community can face when you're not part of it. So what we need to do is we need to listen, we need to learn, we need to act. We need to have those uncomfortable conversations if we're going to have real change. So to that end, Deshaun, let's do a deal. How about we go to DC and I take you to the Holocaust Museum, and then you take me to the Museum of African American History and Culture. Afterwards, we grab some burgers and we have those uncomfortable conversations.
So that's Julian Edelman. It's talking to Deshaun Jackson. LZ, I keep coming back to what you said a minute ago, that I don't know if this is a sense of Deshaun Jackson was uninformed and after touring a museum or sitting down with somebody and having some uncomfortable conversations will feel differently, or whether this just is, I don't like that and that's where I'm going to live.
See, yeah, I don't know.
I'm more of the he was truly uninformed and uneducated. That's what I believe. I do. I honestly believe that he is uninformed and uneducated. Having known him and been around him many, many years, I can certainly see where he was blind to what he posted. I can certainly see it. And in fact, he posted something that Hitler didn't even say, right?
Yes.
Right. But he gave credit to Hitler. So that in itself is also telling me he was blind to the fact and don't even know what the hell he's talking about.
Key, what if I posted something?
But that's just my take on it. That's just my take on it, though.
I hear you.
He ain't getting a pass for it. Ain't no pass for it. But I also understand who he is.
I understand not being educated, but there's just some things, man.
I get that, look man. I have this argument with you and Travis all the time. And y'all tell me, man, they ain't nowhere in the world. I'm like, they don't know.
Keith, let me try to make an analogy here. What if I said something that was the equivalent of, you know, Black Lives Matter is a terrorist organization that's getting ready to take over the world, and this is why it needs to be stopped.
But
in its
you
tracks.
Can't. But I don't even want you to go down that track. But I don't want you to go down that track.
What the hell are you doing?
But Travis, you can't go down that track. Because what? I know you
What's
well enough. I know you well enough to know that your brain don't operate that damn way. So you can't sell me on that. You can't fool me for many years and tell me in a short period that I've known you that all of a sudden you was the dude that had the sheet in the back of the trunk. Can't nobody tell me that. I know you too well in a short period of time.
Mm-hmm.
You got to be a damn good actor. And you not.
Damn. He gave you a compliment and a backhanded.
I was going to say, I thought I got
you
kicked off.
So you saying Black Lives Matter, blah, 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 terrorist group, they're going to do this. That you don't even think like that. Susan don't think like that. Michael, Kelly, none of them. Big Bob, that ain't in their mind.
You know what's crazy? Oh, well, a lot of this is crazy. But here are the choices. Here are really the choices based upon what you're saying, Key. The choice, door number one, is that a young man who spent 3 years on a very good campus and went to a very good high school, still somehow missed the Hitler note through all that being out on a campus for three seasons, in addition to graduating from a very good high school, somehow missed the Hitler thing, or two, he knows about the Hitler thing, didn't care, and is only responding this way because he's being called out on it. And then there's door number three, which is all of the above, that he somehow went through 3 years at Cal, didn't learn ish about ish, found out about it, and still didn't care. Like, those are your three options. None of it looks good for him. None of it. The conversation about Riley Cooper and the Eagles, that is a totally separate conversation.
Yes.
By the way, would not have been sparked had he not posted something so anti-Semitic and hateful to begin with.
And he posted that. And with everything that you said, I still believe that he's a dumbass and he did not understand what he was doing.
But still,
he did not know, regardless to what education you think he may have had in walking on campus with a book bag, doesn't mean that he was paying attention.
All right. The Major League Baseball summer training is underway. We're getting closer. We're nearly 2 weeks away from the start of the Major League Baseball season. Pedro Gomez will tell us if we're going to get there. He'll join us next on the morning show on 710 ESPN. Believe it or not, we are 2 weeks away from opening day of the 2020 Major League Baseball season. Joining us right now, friend of the show, ESPN MLB insider Pedro Gomez on the Sprint People's Hotline. Good morning, Pedro. How are you?
I am well, boys. How are you guys?
We're doing great. I'm looking at the soccer tournament right now, Pedro, and it looks as if they're in mid-season form with all the flops and stuff I've seen so far.
They're already, as Rex Chapman would say, they're all set to sign with Duke.
That's great.
That is great. Got a question for you, my friend. If you were on a desert island and you could only take one movie from Arnold Schwarzenegger, hold on now, calm yourself down. You're going to take one movie from either Arnold Schwarzenegger or Sylvester Stallone. What's the one movie you would take to you on this deserted island?
And I can only pick one of those two.
Yes.
Okay. I think I might go Copland.
Ooh. What the hell? What?
There you go. That's a good movie.
That's the one I mentioned when we closed out. That was the one I mentioned. I said, I forgot about Copland.
I think I'd take.
That's a deep dive.
Well, Stallone wasn't, you know, the goofball in it. And De Niro and Ray Liotta and Harvey Keitel. And I mean, it's a terrific, terrific cast.
Well, so, I'm a little shocked by your deep dive, but that's a good call.
So I threw too much of a curveball. I buckled your knees, LZ.
No, see, here's what happened, Pedro. He wanted you to pick one of his movies, and you ended up picking none of our movies.
No. I didn't want you to pick one of my movies. I didn't need you to pick any of my movies because I know that you were going to be sincere and honest, unlike our producer, Raj, who is deceitful, who is hateful and spiteful.
Raj is a mean person.
He is. You know, he went behind my back on our snake draft and tried to poo-poo my list and uplift Travis.
It's no surprise. I can't say
exactly. I'm glad you do understand who Raj is. But Pedro, speaking of understanding what is and who is and how we get through baseball, the Dodgers obviously had a little bit of an incident yesterday with Muncy, little finger dinger, because of the center field situation where, what is it called, Travis?
Batter's eye,
where they get the backdrop of the black tarp in the batter's eye situation. What's going to happen moving forward with the Dodgers in that situation as the season progresses?
Well, I think what they're going to do is they're going to view that over the course of the next 2 weeks before the season starts, and they're going to start getting input from their hitters. What exactly is the issue here? Because it is a brand new batter's eye. There's never been an issue there at Dodger Stadium. Obviously, with the, you know, they've made changes to the stadium. They continue to fix it up, and there's a difference. And that's the type of thing that you can never plan for, because somebody is designing that who is not a baseball player. and they're saying, oh, yeah, this will work. Don't worry. Once the real players get in there, they're like, hey, there's an issue here, and they can fix it. So I would not be surprised if it's fixed somewhat quickly. Look, when the Dodgers a few years ago went back to the original color of the seats, they had those light yellow ones right behind the plate because that's what they had when Dodger Stadium opened. And the infielders said, hey, when there's a ground ball, the ball gets lost in those seat colors, and we can't really pick it up as well as we used to. So the Dodgers said, okay, well, we'll change those seats back to blue. And the problem was solved. So, you know, these are the things that can be fixed. Look at the Giants' brand new park when it opened back in 2000. They're going through a walkthrough, and they're looking at how amazing the new stadium is going to be and what it looks like. And somebody goes, where are the bullpens? And one of the designers goes, what are you talking about? He goes, where do the relievers warm up? They forgot. And that's why a brand new stadium like the Giants had the bullpens still in the field of play. Now, this year they redesigned after 20 years, and the bullpens are going to be behind the center field fence. But initially, there was like, you know, you get somebody who doesn't really know, and things can get forgotten.
Pedro Gomez joining us here on the morning show. Pedro, we're 2 weeks away from the Dodgers opening up against the Giants. Are we going to see that game? Are we going to get to at least the starting line?
I put it at 50-50. I put it at 50-50. There's look, if something happens and all of a sudden you see even bigger names opt out, I think that the whole thing could come to a screeching halt. So I'm going to put it at 50-50 right now as we sit here a little over 2 weeks out.
Wouldn't individuals opt out now? I mean, what are you waiting on? If you're going to opt out, you're going to opt out now. Why would you wait 2 weeks from now to opt out?
I think you might see somebody say, hey, this is maybe a couple of teammates tested positive. My wife is pregnant. I have a sick child. I have sick parents. I can't do this. So if things progress and they get worse, then I think you'll see other players opt out. I think some are saying, okay, I'm going to stick it out right now to see what happens. But if it gets bad, I'm leaving. A's reliever Jake Diekman yesterday and his wife, who are, you know, very, very, they have strong opinions on it. You could hear it in him. You could hear it in Mike Trout's voice the other day when he said, I'm still not comfortable. You know, there's players that are doing it right now, but if there's a little hiccup, I could see them saying, okay, I gave it a try, but it's just not going to happen.
What do you think the coaches who are in the, I guess, the little bracket where they could be? Yes. What's going on with them and the concern about their care? I understand the players are the ones that we're seeing to watch play, but if you're a Dusty Baker what are they supposed to do?
You know, I don't think it's any different than when you see, we've all seen the spikes in minority communities because these are the people that are at the lower end of the scale and they feel like they have to go work. I think that you see a lot of coaches and managers who feel like, I can't make this kind of money anywhere else. I have to go to work. And I think that has a lot to do with it. I know I've spoken to a few who have told me that I need the paycheck. I need to get out there. So it's really no different than any cross-section of society.
Pedro Gomez joining us here on the morning show. Pedro, what do you think, assuming that the 50% that we will start happens, what do you think the Major League Baseball response and the players' response will be to Black Lives Matter and the social protests that we've seen so far? Because we're watching an MLS game this morning, and obviously everybody before the game was on a knee. We've seen it in other sports, NASCAR, other things. What's baseball going to look like?
That's going to be fascinating to see because it has the fewest numbers of African-American players. There are black players, but they're Latin American for the most part. And the African-American player, I think last year was 7% of the game was African-American. So it has the fewest numbers of the three major professional sports. I wouldn't include hockey in this cross section, but soccer, if you include soccer, it has easily the fewest numbers. So it's going to be interesting what they do. You know, they've always talked about how upfront they are about wanting change. They were the ones that had Jackie Robinson. They celebrate Jackie Robinson Day every year, such on, you know, on such a high level. So it will be fascinating to see what they do. I'd be surprised if they don't do something big, because they've got, you know, in a way, they have a perfect advertising campaign, so to speak. And this is not just an ad campaign, obviously. There's so much more to it. But if you take their moniker, MLB, and you put a mirror up to it, it's BLM. So they've got some natural ways to be able to do things here with it. And I'd be surprised if they don't do something along those lines. But just doing something doesn't do anything for what's happening. You've got to walk the walk, not just talk it.
Amen. Pedro, I got another question for you. If you could take two movies to this desert island, and you've already said Copland, what would be the second movie that you would take?
You didn't even know what Copland was.
No. I knew what it was. It was just a deep dive, because usually people pick the blockbusters. That wasn't really a blockbuster film. That's why it took me by surprise.
True, but it was a good one. All right. I'm going to guess that LZ wants me to pick Terminator.
No. You don't have to appease me. You don't have to appease me. I'm just
Terminator was Key's first choice.
Oh, okay. So Key wants me to pick Terminator.
It's okay. I ain't coming to your island. Don't worry about it. I ain't got to come to your island.
Here we go. You know what? I'm going to go the opposite because it is such a horrible movie. It's one of those. It's so bad. It's good in a way. Like it's such a train wreck that you can't turn away from it. I'll say Cobra.
Oh, that's a good choice. Great car in Cobra, too.
All right, because that Pedro, scene at the beginning, let's call the Cobra, and here he comes in the old car, you know, and all of a sudden he gets the bad guy at the grocery store, and he picks up the microphone, you got to check out, or something like that. It's just so horrible. It's so horrible that you cannot turn away from it.
Love it. Pedro, we will talk to you next week, and hopefully we are still on track to have a Major League Baseball season. Yes. Appreciate you coming on. Thanks
Absolutely.
So much.
Did I go over two on my movie picks?
No. There's no judgment here. This is the no judgment zone.
Yeah, right.
Well, you got to tell me, what is it that LZ likes?
Terminator 2.
Okay.
Oh, you ain't said it with right, no kind LZ. Of enthusiasm or nothing. Wow. Okay. Okay,
we're
Pedro.
We're going to have to talk, LZ.
All right, Pedro.
We'll talk to you soon. Guys. Thanks, Pedro.
Take care. Bye-bye.
All right, Take It or Shake It is coming up next. Okay, Keith, let's start with the Deshaun Jackson, Julian Edelman topic right here. Julian Edelman says he wants to go on a little bit of a road trip to D.C. with Deshaun Jackson and look at the Holocaust Museum and look at the African-American History and Culture Museum together. Deshaun Jackson should take him up on that offer. Take it or shake it.
Take it.
Oh, eat the donuts. Eat the donuts.
Yeah, they probably don't need to eat no burgers, though, in D.C., but they can go and visit the African-American Museum and the Holocaust. They for sure can do that. That is something on both sides when conversations take place and education take place. Well, ever since this George Floyd thing took place, the amount of conversation that I've had with non-African-American people on just getting to understand why they feel a certain way, a thought process, and why we as a community feel a certain way, it's been enlightening. And I think that there's nothing wrong with those conversations. You know, you could agree to disagree. You could all those sort of things and still remain friends and get mad at each other because you may not agree to somebody, and it might turn into a political thing, and it might turn into you cook this versus that. I don't like this versus that. LZ's people put almonds and pecans and grains.
Hey,
that's
hey,
not
hey,
something
hey.
That we
that
do. I mean, we might turn into all that. Or y'all, Travis, take the meat and flip it straight out the cardboard box onto the grill and
under
throw
the,
salt
straight
pepper
under the grill, a little salt and pepper, right?
But the conversations, are good, man. It's healthy. If you don't communicate, you don't know. If you don't know what you don't know, how is it going to help you?
Yeah, just go to Poison Bus Boys afterwards. Don't go to any old burger joint. Make sure you go to somewhere good. You can get some education in D.C.
Let's take a listen here to Marcus Spears, who says that there are a lot of NFL players that are willing to risk getting sick so they can collect their money.
I think most guys, and I don't want to say all, but I think most guys are willing to sacrifice the possibility of getting this virus for going to play and being able to provide and have their living situation not change. And believe it or not, a lot of guys ain't gazillionaires in the NFL. I'm sure a lot of people know that now. They need these next 6-7 months. They need these 17 weeks of checks.
A lot of NFL players are going to play strictly to collect the money. Take it or shake it.
Take it.
Okay,
you plan to get that money, man. What you, I mean.
No, this is a little different. Maybe I phrased it poorly, but the point being that there is something out there that could potentially be incredibly harmful to you and your family. We all play, look, we all go to work for our money. Sometimes we love our jobs, sometimes we don't. But if there is a variable that could kill you or your children or your wife or your mother or your grandmother, it's a different decision.
Well, here's why it's a different – here's why they could still play and get their money. Because you don't have to go around your grandmother, your mother. You know, you don't have to deal with them while you're playing football. You don't have to go over visit their house. I mean, I have friends that have older parents that haven't seen their parents in months, only talking to them over the phone and Skyping with them, and they live right down the street because they won't – even though they're testing – negative, they're just like, you know what, man, I'm just gonna wait, because they just don't want to put themselves in that position. And you don't have to do that. You don't have to put your, think about it, these dudes out there practicing with one another when they're being told not to do that. You think they really give a damn about what somebody talking about? When you start talking about taking money away from them, you think the NFL care? NFL trying to make money, they still trying to put the games on. So if they still try to put the games on to make money, don't you think the players is going to play to try to get their money?
Well, I get trying to make the money, but it's not without additional variables. I mean,
this is a totally
different dynamic where I need the money. Look, we all need money, right? We all need to make a living. But if I knew that I had to walk into a place every day and there was a chance that I could bring something home, it's a different decision to make.
Man, dude, y'all keep telling me, you and LZ are always telling me these dudes about them making decisions. And here we are with one of the decisions. You think they go turn their back on making some money? No.
Well, listen.
Even though they being told there's a risk, no.
Listen, everybody who's working right now is taking a risk. Everybody. Every single time you go into the grocery store to get your little groceries, everyone working in the grocery store is taking that risk because they need the money. So why would the NFL players be any different?
Why would they?
You don't think playing in the NFL is different than working in a grocery store? I mean, just the proximity of contact and of people and locker rooms and tackle.
I heard somebody sneeze yesterday when I was in there taking them pictures of that barbecue I was sending y'all. I heard a dude, somebody sneeze. I'm blaming it on a guy, but I heard somebody sneeze about an aisle over. Okay,
stampede,
I didn't go down that aisle.
Stampede out of the grocery store.
I didn't go down that aisle. I kept it moving.
All right, let's move on to the next one here. The Ivy League has canceled all of their fall sports coming up for the 2020 season. Other Power 5 conferences will follow suit. Take it or shake it.
Shake it.
Oh, take it.
Why not? Okay.
Yeah, they're not listening to the Ivy League. Ivy League is smart. I know they got a lot of governors and politicians and all the different stuff.
DeSean Jackson go there?
But I don't see where the Alabama, the Michigans, the USC's, the Clemson's of the world, the Texas A&M's of the world is listening to something that the Ivy League is doing that's not generating any revenue to the cause.
Well, it all depends on what the cause is. And I'm not going to dismiss the Ivy League because Ryan Fitzpatrick is their best player to come out of there. What I will say is that they didn't take that decision lightly. That they went through all the checks and balances. And while it is true, Key, that the Ivy League may not be pumping in a whole lot of NFL players, I do know the Ivy League pumps out a lot of people who are in charge of making the decisions that the Ivy League made. And whatever process they use, I'm assuming the Power Five are also looking at that with their eyebrow raised.
All right, let's do one.
It's too much money involved for the leagues to shut down. They only shut down. They only gonna shut down.
They only gonna shut down
if it goes crazy. That's it. Some bad stuff has really got to happen for them to shut that down.
All right, very quickly here, one more NFL. Speaking of NFL and the money, the NFL owners asking players to put their salary in an escrow account is the worst idea ever. Take it or shake it.
Shake it.
Shake it. Shake, shake it.
It's
shake
the
it,
worst.
Yeah, they gonna try to, man, they be trying to, woo, these owners something else. They be trying to get it, boy. Hey, why don't you put 30% of y'all earnings in an escrow account, and then we'll figure out how to, oh, so you can gain the interest on the money, and then you can keep that and give it back to us, but you done made it.
Slick.
They got all the slickness, boy. They think they slick.
Ooh, they slick, man.
God.
Yeah, that probably didn't go over super great. I mean, no. Hey, how about we just hold on to some of your money for a while? Yeah, how about no? How about get lost? How about go to hell? How about that?
Anything to make a buck, man. It's all about the Benjamins, baby.
I guess so. All right, Kenny Smith. Kenny the Jet is going to join us next to talk a little bit about that NBA bubble that's right around the corner. That's coming up on The Morning Show on 710 ESPN.